Chapter number 7, The Theory Behind Removing Milk Products from Your Diet. Milk is a prime source of two very important nutrients, calcium and potassium. Calcium is one of the most important nutrients for the human body as it helps form and maintain healthy teeth and bones. 99% of the calcium in the human body is stored in the teeth and the bones, where it provides hardness for tissue strength. The remaining 1% is found in the blood and other tissues, where it assists in numerous other functions, including blood clotting, muscle contraction, vasodilation, hormonal secretion, the transmission of nerve impulses, and as an essential intracellular message. It also plays key roles in cell signaling and maintaining a normal heart rhythm. The weakening of bones due to low levels of calcium and potassium leads to osteoporosis. Each year, osteoporosis causes more than 1.5 million human bone fractures, including 300,000 broken hips in Americans 65 years of age or older, of which 20 to 30% will die within 12 months. On the other hand, there is growing evidence that consuming a lot of milk and other dairy products has little effect on bone density and may, in fact, contribute to osteoporosis and other health problems, including heart disease, cancer, and more. So let's look at the facts. Lactose intolerance, the facts. The origins of milking dates back only 7,000 years. Cow's milk is not an ideal food for humans for a number of reasons. In order to digest the sugar found in dairy products called lactose, humans need an enzyme that helps break down lactose into usable components for our body. This enzyme is called lactase and is located in the small intestine, where it is responsible for digestion of the sugar lactose. Lactase activity is high and vital during infancy, but in most mammals, including most humans, lactase activity declines after the weaning phase, making the person unable to break down lactose to its usable components, thereby rendering the person intolerant to lactose. Professor Juan Pinhasi and his colleagues from the University College Dublin East Institute and School of Archaeology examined DNA from ancient fossil remains in search of known genetic markers, including lactose intolerance. Their findings show that ancient Europeans remained intolerant to lactose for 5,000 years after they adopted animal domestication practices for milk, and 4,000 years after the onset of cheese making among Central European Neolithic farmers. Ancient Europeans domesticated animals such as cows, sheep, and goats without having yet developed the genetic tolerance for drinking milk from mammals. So why did people begin dairy farming if they could not utilize the milk properly as a food source 7,000 years ago? Researchers suggest that ancient Europeans may have practiced dairying not to drink milk, but to consume milk products such as cheese and yogurt, which have considerably less lactose. Cheese production evolved quickly after the development of dairy farming. The first direct signs of cheesemaking were found in broken pieces of ancient ceramic material from Poland, found by Peter Bukuki, an archaeologist at Princeton University in the 1980s. He and his collaborator, Melanie Salku, chemist at the University of Bristol, United Kingdom, found fragments of pottery with small holes in them and realized these were used as sieves to strain the curds of milk. He recalls, and I quote, "There weren't many of them, but there were a few at just about every site," end of quote. He reasoned that Neolithic farmers had found a way to use their herds for more than milk or meat and had started to make cheese, which is much lower in lactose. The process that makes cheese and yogurt also helps break down lactose in the milk. Most of the current world population remains lactose intolerant, unable as adults to digest the complex milk sugar lactose found in cow's milk and dairy products, leading to side effects such as diarrhea, cramping, bloating, and gas. However, while cheese is a dairy product, it is relatively low in lactose, which helped people take advantage of animal milk, a food one could sustainably secure even in extreme and rapidly changing weather conditions of Northern Europe. The presence of dairying over many generations helped set the stage for an evolutionary change in certain populations, such as Northern Europeans, making them lactase persistent, meaning that the enzyme lactase, which breaks down lactose, remains active well into adulthood, enabling them to digest lactose also as adults. This genetic change is probably due to natural selection of the fittest, because when food supply was sparse, the ability to continue to tolerate lactose helped people in cold European continent to have a sustainable food source by milking cows and making cheeses. However, early dairy farming was expensive and time-consuming. Bulls were needed to get the cow pregnant, and the gestation period for the cow was about 9 months long. Cows give birth, and then their milk was used to feed their young calves, as well as people who raise the cattle. Cows also typically have only one baby at a time, and milk production lasts for about 4 years. But when the weather was not stable enough to permit regular growth of many other food sources, Northern Europeans relied on cows and goats for milk. It is mostly in these populations that we see that people with lactose persistence. However, in populations throughout the world, lactose intolerance is still prevalent in humans. Most humans remain unable to digest lactose after childhood. 90% of Asians, 75% of Africans and Native Americans, and 50% of Hispanics are lactose intolerant, compared to only about 15% of people from Northern European descent. The number of lactose intolerant people in the world will grow in this coming century, with the main population growth expected in Africa and Asia in comparison with the European population. But as we can see, there are people that can tolerate lactose. So why should such people refrain from consuming milk products when they are such an important calcium source? Where can people get calcium requirements if not from milk and dairy products? The body can receive its calcium requirements by consuming calcium-rich foods, including dark leafy greens, seeds, dried beans, or drinking water, which all have varying amounts of absorbable calcium. Calcium is found at high levels in dairy foods. However, this calcium is not well absorbed by the human body. For the body to absorb calcium efficiently, there has to be a relatively equal amount of magnesium present in the food source. Milk from cows only contains small amount of magnesium, so the body cannot make use of all of the calcium contained within it. In reality, only about 25% of dairy calcium from milk can be absorbed. The remaining 75% can end up causing problems in the body, leading to kidney stones, plaque buildup in the arteries, gout, and can be a contributing factor for arthritis. Calcium, found in dark leafy vegetables including broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, turnip greens, mustard greens, spinach, chicory, collard greens, dandelion greens, Swiss chard, and arugula are more absorbable than calcium from dairy products. If there is not enough calcium in our diet and blood levels of calcium drop too low, the body will get its required calcium by pulling it out from the bones. Bone is living tissue, which is always in flux. Human bones are constantly being broken down and built up in a process known as remodeling. Bone cells, called osteoblasts, build bone, while other bone cells, called osteoclasts, break down bone. In healthy individuals who get enough calcium and physical activity, bone production exceeds bone destruction up to around the age of 30. After that, destruction typically exceeds production. Dairy foods and osteoporosis, the facts. Osteoporosis is the weakening of bones caused by drastic imbalance between levels of bone creation and bone destruction. People typically lose bone tissue as they age, despite consuming the recommended intake of calcium necessary to maintain optimal bone health. In fact, receiving higher amounts of calcium over a long period of time raises the risk of kidney stones in some people, which is one of the most common disorders of a urinary tract today, and excess calcium has not been proven to reduce osteoporosis. But why? Achieving adequate calcium intake and maximizing bone stores through impact exercising during the time when the bone is rapidly deposited, up to the age of 30, provides an important foundation for the future, but it will not prevent bone loss later in life. The loss of bone tissue with aging is a result of several factors, including genetic and dietary factors, physical activity levels, and levels of circulating hormone, estrogen in women and testosterone in men. Maximum calcium retention studies, which examine the maximum amount of calcium that can be forced into bones, suggest a high daily calcium requirement. To ensure that 95% of the population gets this much calcium, the National Academy of Sciences established a very high calcium recommended intake level of 1,000 milligrams a day for those aged 19 to 50, 1,200 milligrams per day for those aged 50 or over, and 1,000 milligrams a day for pregnant or lactating adult women. But the maximum calcium retention studies are short-term studies and therefore have major limitations. The results from long-term studies show an entirely different picture. While they do not question the importance of calcium in maximizing bone strength, these studies suggest that high calcium intake doesn't actually appear to lower a person's risk for osteoporosis. For example, in the two large ongoing Harvard studies of male health professionals and female nurses, which I mentioned in previous chapters, individuals who drank one glass of milk or less per week were at no greater risk of breaking a hip or forearm than those who drank two or more glasses of per week. When researchers combined the data from the Harvard studies with other large prospective studies, they still found no association between calcium intake from dairy products and fracture risk. A recent study showed that higher milk consumption during teenage years was not associated with lower risk of hip fracture in older adults. A 2005 review published in the magazine Pediatrics showed that milk consumption does not improve bone integrity in children. In a more recent study, researchers tracked the diets, physical activity, and stress factor incidence of adolescent girls for 7 years and concluded that dairy products and calcium do not prevent stress factors in adolescent girls. Additional evidence further supports the idea that American adults may not need as much calcium as is currently recommended. For example, in countries such as India, Japan, and Peru, where an average daily calcium intake is as low as 300 milligrams per day, which is less than a third of the U.S. recommendation for adults aged 19 to 50, the increase of bone fractures is quite low. Of course, these countries differ in other important bone health factors as well, such as dietary intake of legumes, levels of physical activity, and amount of sunlight, which could also account for their low fracture rates. Similarly, the Harvard Nurses' Health Study, which followed more than 72,000 women for 12 years, found no protective effect of increased milk consumption on fracture risk. Studies show that one of the leading causes of osteoporosis is actually consuming too much dietary animal protein in the form of dairy products. Furthermore, the amount of calcium absorbed from foods can vary tremendously depending on total dietary calcium intake and the sources of the dietary calcium. Cows get their calcium from a high consumption of plant foods. Grass is rich in calcium. The calcium from plants is also rich in magnesium necessary for the body to absorb and utilize the calcium. The calcium in cow's milk is magnesium poor, and the countries with the highest amount of milk and dairy consumption have been found to have the highest rates of osteoporosis. Also, the amount of calcium content in food varies significantly in different parts of the globe, and even between different foods grown in the same country in different habitats. Both the nutrient variation in foods and the variation in nutrient absorption, depending on total diet of the individual, work together and intensify each other. Furthermore, interactions among individual nutrients in foods are also substantial and dynamic and must be considered. A review of nutrient-nutrient interactions showed that excess calcium interferes with leukocyte function by displacing magnesium ions, thereby reducing immune function and cell adhesion. However, I believe that by focusing on specific nutrients found in milk, we are missing the bigger picture. Our bodies are a whole system with everything working together to make the body function in the best possible way. Foods are not just a collection of nutrients, but are complex and influence our health in many more ways than just the sum of their nutrients. The real question to be asked is whether dairy products are really good for our health. Well, milk and dairy products may not be the ideal food source they are thought to be. Let's look into this. Dairy foods and IQ, the facts. Of all mammals, human milk has the lowest ratio of casein to whey. Human milk has only 1.2 milligram per liter protein content, 4.2% fat, and 7% lactose, and supplies 72 calories per 100 grams. The protein found in breast milk is mostly whey protein, which is easier to digest than casein protein, the main protein which is found in cow's milk. 80% of it. Cow's milk contains on average 3.4% protein, 3.6% fat, and only 4.6% lactose, and supplies 66 calories per 100 grams. The time required for a human baby to double its birth weight is 120 days. This is a very long period in comparison with a cow. A baby calf doubles its birth weight in just 47 days. Rats have a high protein content in their milk. 11.8 milligram per liter, and baby rats double their weight in only 4.5 days. The protein content of milk allows the body to grow very fast. Human babies are helpless when they are born, unlike cows who can, within a number of minutes, begin to walk and find the food source. Human babies, on the other hand, need to first develop their brains and then increase their body weight in order to survive. Therefore, the milk of a cow, which is intended to make the calf grow quickly to its large size, is less directed towards making the brain of the cow develop. Human milk is geared toward increasing brain development and less for musculoskeletal growth. Brain tissue consists largely of fat, which insulates the nerve fibers in the form of myelin sheaths. Human breast milk contains cholesterol, which is needed to make nerve tissue in the growing brain. The fats in breast milk are particularly self-digesting, since breast milk also contains the enzyme lipase, which breaks down the fat. Fat in human milk has a large amounts of omega-3 fatty acids, which are important for brain development. Omega-3 fatty acids are found in much higher concentrations in human milk than in cow's milk. The levels of fatty acid in breast milk depend on the mother's consumption of omega-3 fatty acids in her foods. But so important are these brain-building fats that if a mother's diet doesn't provide enough of them through her diet, her milk, the breast tissue, can produce them. Breast milk is also higher in lactose compared to cow's milk. Lactose is broken down in the body into glucose and galactose, which is a valuable nutrient for brain tissue development. We know from animal studies that the more intelligent species of mammals have greater amounts of lactose in their milk. Soya-based and other lactose-free formulas obviously contain no lactose at all and are therefore less beneficial for human babies than mother breast milk. The protein of human breast milk has high amounts of amino acid taurine, which also plays an important role in the development of brain tissue and eyes. This amino acid is low in cow's milk. The breastfeeding process itself may also benefit a child's brain development because it varies more than the bottle feeding experience. The taste changes, the texture changes, and it requires more energy to consume. Breastfeeding also takes longer, and this provides more closeness between the mother and her baby. Children raised on cow's milk were found to have a lower IQ than children raised on mother's milk. Cow's milk is intended for cows and does not meet the nutrient requirements for human babies and may even lead to toxicity in infants. In an editorial, Dr. Dimitri Christakis of the Seattle Children's Hospital Research Institute stated that breastfeeding an infant for the first year of life would be expected to increase his or her IQ by 4 points, or 1/3 of the standard deviation. Other observational studies report positive association of breast milk with later intelligence. The truth is that it is very unnatural for any animal to live off the milk of another animal. Milk from one mammal is made in the best way to provide the offspring of that animal the best nutrition. As you have heard in this chapter, milk from different animals has very different compositions. The biochemical makeup of cow's milk is perfectly suited to turn a 65-pound newborn calf into a 400-pound cow in 1 year. It contains 3 times more protein, 7 times more mineral content than human milk. On the other hand, human milk has 10 times more essential fatty acids, 3 times the amount of selenium, twice as much taurine, and half of the calcium of cow's milk. Dairy foods and cardiovascular disease. The facts. Many dairy products are high in saturated fats, and a high saturated fat intake after infancy is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Dairy products contribute significant amounts of cholesterol and saturated fat to the diet. Vegans and vegetarians have been proven to be healthier with regard to cardiovascular status than meat eaters. But when comparing cholesterol and cardiovascular status between vegetarians and vegans, vegans have shown to have a better cardiovascular status than vegetarians who consume dairy products. While it's true that most dairy products are now available in fat-reduced or non-fat options, the saturated fat that is removed is usually replaced with sugar or chemical sweeteners to compensate for the lack of taste that comes from removal of fats. Even though the fat is reduced in some dairy products, fat still forms a significant part of these foods. For example, in skim milk, 6% of the calories are still coming from fat. Comparisons between a diet low in saturated fats with plenty of fresh fruit and vegetables and the typical diet of someone living in the Western developed world show that in the former, there is a 73% reduction in the risk of new major cardiac events. The role of diet is crucial in the development and prevention of cardiovascular disease. Diet is one of the key things that you can change that will impact all cardiovascular risk factors. Dairy foods and iron status. The facts. Iron status is significantly impaired when whole cow's milk is introduced into the diet of young infants. This is the period of greatest iron need and highest prevalence of iron deficiency anemia. A study of 1,311 children pointed that an increase in cow's milk consumption was associated with decreasing serum ferritin. In fact, the research shows that babies who are fed on whole cow's milk showed an increase in intestinal blood loss of up to 30%. What leads these infants to bleed after the consumption of cow's milk? Well, the high levels of protein in cow's milk are very difficult to digest. The protein casein found in cow's milk, unlike the whey protein found in human breast milk, irritates the gut wall and causes internal bleeding, which leads to iron loss, and the same also occurs in adults. Dairy foods and infertility, the facts. The World Health Organization, the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recognize infertility as a disease. Infertility is a disease that results in abnormal functioning of the male or female reproductive system. 11.9% of American women receive infertility services during their lifetime, and 1 in 8 couples have trouble getting pregnant or sustaining a pregnancy. Dairy foods have been found to impair fertility by affecting ovulatory function. A study prospectively followed 18,555 married premenopausal women without a history of infertility who attempted a pregnancy or to become pregnant during an 8-year period. Their diet was assessed, and the results showed that a high intake of low-fat dairy foods increased the risk of infertility. Dairy foods and cancer. The facts. A recent pooled analysis of 12 prospective cohort studies, which included more than 500,000 adult women, found that women who had a high intake of lactose in adulthood, equivalent to 3 or more servings of milk per day, had a higher risk of ovarian cancer compared with women with the lowest lactose intakes. In a case control study, consumption of dairy products was linked to a highly significant trend for increasing ovarian cancer risk. They concluded that lactose consumption may be a dietary risk factor, especially when dairy consumption exceeds the levels of the enzyme beta-galactosidase and its ability to break down galactase. They concluded that lactose consumption may be a dietary risk factor, especially when dairy consumption exceeds the levels of the enzyme beta-galactosidase and its ability to break down galactose. The galactose levels build up in the blood and other tissues, including the ovaries. Moreover, some researchers have hypothesized that modern industrial milk production practices have changed milk hormone composition in ways that could increase the risk of hormone-related cancers. A diet high in calcium from dairy products has been implicated as a probable risk factor for prostate cancer and prostate infections. In a Harvard study of male health professionals, men who drank 2 or more glasses of milk a day were almost twice as likely to develop advanced prostate cancer as those who didn't drink any milk at all. A more recent analysis of the Harvard study participants found that men with the highest calcium intake, at least 2,000 milligrams a day, had nearly double the risk of developing fatal prostate cancer as those who took the lowest intake of less than 500 milligrams per day. Dr. Tonghan Tsin and colleagues of the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health at Yale University School of Medicine performed a population-based case control study to evaluate the relation between diet and nutrient intakes and the risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma among Connecticut women. When the highest quartile of intake was compared with the lowest, the authors found an increased risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma associated with animal protein and saturated fat consumption, and no relation for vegetable protein or monounsaturated fat found in cashews, avocado, high-fat fruit, and olives. An increased risk was also observed for higher intakes of eggs and dairy products. On the other hand, a reduced risk was found for higher intakes of dietary fiber and for several fruit and vegetable items. An association between dietary intake and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma risk is biologically plausible because diets high in protein and fat may lead to altered immunocompetence, resulting in increased risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He concluded that antioxidants and other properties of vegetables and fruits may result in a reduced risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Another study was conducted by Professor T. Colin Campbell, an American nutritional biochemist known for his support for a low-fat, whole food, vegan, plant-based diet, and the author of over 300 research papers on the subject. Campbell replicated a study done in India with his graduate student in Cornell University that showed the effect of dietary animal protein, casein, found in cow's milk on the risk of developing cancer. He exposed a group of rats to a powerful carcinogen and then divided the group into two. One group was fed a 20% animal protein diet with casein and the other group a 5% animal protein-based diet with casein. All of the rats in the 20% group developed liver cancer or cancer precursor lesions, while not one of the rats in the 5% group did. He performed this experiment several times until he was satisfied that his results were genuine. His results clearly showed that dairy animal protein intake determined liver cancer development much more than the influence of the environmental cancer-promoting agent. High levels of casein consumption found in cow's milk led to 100% increase in the risk for developing liver cancer. Dairy foods and diabetes, the facts. Diabetes is on the rise. There is a 62% increase in people suffering from diabetes in the past decade. Figures show that an increase of 17% in amputations every week is due to diabetes. Insulin-dependent type 1 or childhood onset diabetes is also linked to consumption of dairy products in infancy. A 2001 Finnish study of 3,000 infants with genetically increased risk for developing diabetes showed that early introduction of cow's milk increased susceptibility to type 1 diabetes. In addition, the American Academy of Pediatrics observed up to 30% reduction in the incidence of type 1 diabetes in infants who avoided exposure to cow's milk protein for at least the first 3 months of their lives. But what makes cow's milk a triggering factor? A variety of studies have reported that the association between antibodies against five major proteins present in cow's milk, caseins, alpha-lactalbumin, gamma-globulin, albumin, and hormonal constituents, and the development of type 2 diabetes, but anti-BSA antibodies are the ones showing the highest disease specificity. The link between cow's milk and the autoimmune process occurring in type 1 diabetes, in genetically predisposed childhood diabetes, whereby the body mistakenly destroys the insulin-producing cells, the beta cells in the pancreas, responsible for producing insulin, the hormone that controls blood sugar levels, may be due to molecular similarity between cow's milk proteins and the beta cell proteins. Researchers identified a similarity between the amino acid sequence in cow's milk casein to the amino acid sequence on the beta cells of the pancreas, leading the body to produce antigens against its own cells, causing the destruction of the insulin-producing beta cells on its own pancreas. Once the beta cells are damaged, the person can no longer form insulin and becomes dependent on an outer source of insulin to survive for the rest of their life. Dairy products and cataracts, the facts. A cataract is a progressive clouding of the lens in the eye, leading to a decrease in vision. Cow's milk has also been connected to cataracts. Research shows that excessive intake of milk aggravates naphthalene-initiated cataracts, which is probably due to oxidative damage by increased levels of free radicals. Dairy foods and modern farming techniques, the facts. In order to increase milk production in cows, farmers began giving them synthetic growth hormones, making cows produce a lot more milk than naturally intended. Since their bodies were not created to produce such large quantities of milk, many infections in the milk tubules occur and pus enters the milk. This warrants the need for antibiotic use. The free use of antibiotics in farm animals that provide milk support its release into the food chain, leading to antibiotic-resistant pathogens, rendering some antibiotics useless when we really need them. So to summarize, a low-fat, plant-based diet with reduced levels of meat and low or preferably no dairy products in combination with physical exercise, smoking cessation, and stress management can not only prevent most modern-day diseases, but may also reverse them.